Hey, it's the Pete, and I am recording episode 36, lucky 6 times 6, of the Triple Six Cast, yay! I was kind of caught off guard, actually, today, because I thought I had recorded a couple extras, to the point where I actually could have just recorded the Triple Six Cast earlier in the week, but I instead recorded episode 35A, which was a midweek episode. Silly me, I just should have checked. I could have sworn I'd recorded it, though. Anyway, so here I am recording the Sunday edition of the Triple Six Cast for... the heck day is today? The 5th! It's the 5th. December 5th, 2010. December, man, can you believe it? We're already in December. It's insane. I am just, I don't think I'm going to do the dishes today, actually, because I had this crazy thumbnail thing that happened, and it hurts to pretty much do anything with my right thumb. Yes, I'm right-handed, and I've got this hangnail that feels like a pushpin jammed into my flesh. And unless I keep a Band-Aid on it, and I have it sort of fashioned or stuck on in a way that it pulls the skin away from the nail. It literally feels like the pushpin is just jammed into my flesh, period. And now it only feels like there's a pushpin in there if I actually touch the thumb by accident or something like that. Yeah, which was really fun yesterday when I was running my errands all over Manhattan, and every time I went for my subway fare card, I jammed my thumb in my pocket, because that's what I'm, like, in my wallet, like, because my fare card's in my wallet, blah, blah, you get it. Anyway, so, flash forward today, here I am, scrambling to record a Triple Six Cast, but luckily, there's plenty to talk about since Thursday, which is when I recorded 35A. I am just pouring myself some coffee here. Yes, it is middle of the afternoon, but I have yet to get my coffee. Oh, wait. I still have... I like iced coffee. So I've got my thermos here. It's not really a thermos. It's a coffee travel mug filled with ice. Although I have my little... my wife, lovely Suskita on Twitter, Sierra Ryan, got me these... got us this silicone... no fake breast implant jokes, please. Thank you. She's quite ample as it is. an ice tray shaped like little Lego minifigures, because we love the Lego. And so I am just going to drop some little Lego men in my coffee here. Hopefully you can hear it. Oh, I'm melting! Ah, because of course the coffee is hot. It's right out of the Mr. Coffee. Oh my God, no! Ah! There goes another one. And here's the third one. Oh, I'm melting. And the fourth one, who to me looks awfully prepared to go. So, I fear nothing. Ah. Ooh. Anyway, yeah, so there's your little fun humor moment. yeah, yesterday was interesting. Going to talk about that in a... little bit as I fill up my little Lego Man tray again. Lego Man ice tray, just $9.99 at the frickin' Lego store in Rockefeller Center. That's a little expensive for a frickin' ice tray. If it didn't make little Lego Man, we wouldn't have bought it. Obviously, because there's no point in... that doesn't make any sense. Anyway. Hell, I was at Bed Bath & Beyond yesterday and saw an ice tray that made... cube shaped like sticks, not like twigs or something, but like just, you know, little ice cylinders almost. And I guess the idea, oh yeah, they were called water bottle cubes or ice, whatever. You get the idea. It's for using to put in water bottles. The other thing I like is orange juice. Yes, orange juice and coffee. So I'm getting some of that as well. Anyway, so that was like $3.99, and I'm just like, no, I don't think I need to spend that much on an ice tray just because it's shaped like... I think that IKEA sells them for like $2 or something. So So maybe I'm just being snooty. I don't know. But anyway, so yeah, yesterday I did actually run into someone, which I will get into in a little bit, because that'll be the topic, the official topic for the week, or for this episode anyway. Just stirring up my orange juice from concentrate here. But first up, for the first 15, if I haven't already blown through them, I would like to talk about some stories in the news. I'm still shocked at how people are reacting to this whole WikiLeaks thing. He's had to, not he, Assange. It's not just Assange. That's what everybody needs to realize. There's actually a bunch of people who are also working on the site. Or on WikiLeaks. And so there's like a bunch of people, and they have all moved WikiLeaks to WikiLeaks.ch, which they claim is in Switzerland. But I could have sworn .ch was the top level domain extension for China. So I'm not sure what that's about. Maybe the host is in Switzerland, but the registrar is in China. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to have my domain name connected to the Chinese government. I hear they censor. anyway, so more on the WikiLeaks stuff here in the news. It's kind of scary looking at this stuff because we're so afraid of this WikiLeaks, as I've said before, both on the 666 cast and off. I found this article back on the 29th, and I had meant to blog about it, but I never got around to it, so I'll mention it here. It's from Bloomberg.com. Ooh, evil Bloomberg. He'll come back later. We'll talk about him briefly in the second 15. Headline, Iran may have missiles from North Korea, cables posted by WikiLeaks show. And X was, my cat X is joining me here. What? Really? Really? Yeah, well, maybe they don't want to listen to you now, huh? Alright, get down. He likes to jump on my chair when I'm sitting in it a little bit forward, just a little space behind. He'll literally jump up and be my lumbar support. It's kind of silly. Anyway, okay, sorry about that. Iran may have missiles from North Korea, cables posted by a WikiLeaks show. This is one of those things where I'm like, you know, this is something I want to know. This is intelligence that should leak to the American people. I know that there are a lot of people out there who are probably using the excuse, well, they're compromising intelligence, you know. But there are a lot of things that the government keeps from us that they really shouldn't, that we kind of need to know about. You know, like if we're going to go invading Iran, I want to know for a fact if there's evidence that, you know, they have missiles. And so, you know, these cables suggest that North Korea may have missiles from North Korea, or Iran might have, you know. So it's like, this is something that could have been helpful in Iran instead of the bullshit that we got, which was nothing, which was just hearsay. And maybe this is just more hearsay. Either way, it's important for we the people to understand what our government is talking about doing. So, and if it's true that they do have missiles, I'd rather know the hard and fast facts, but I still want to know that our government is talking about Iran and talking about it invading or thinking or trying to come up with reasons to, I shouldn't say that, as unbiased as possible, they are discussing things that could be construed as reasons to invade Iran. How's that? That's it. Okay. So, but that's what I mean. It's like, I don't understand why this information is so bad for the public to know. You know, and I really don't see anything out there in the public sphere that would actually suggest that this is a bad thing to have WikiLeaks out there doing this. And as I've said before, WikiLeaks is a website. They're not a country. They're not a government. They're not a military. They're not a terrorist organization. They can't cause any physical harm. All they can do is post words. And I think there's something seriously wrong if you're afraid of words, you know. And I'll get back to the
fear thing in a little bit. One of the things that pisses me off, though, about the news these days is that we are distracted by all this other useless stuff, like WikiLeaks. Oh, before I move on, here's another WikiLeaks story. Where is that highlighted section that I thought was good? Okay, so Matthew Dowd is some sort of commentator fellow. He wrote this piece for nationaljournal.com. I don't know if he used to be a Bushite or something. The guy I found this link from said on Twitter that this was a former Bushite, but I can't find anything that says that. I haven't had the time to actually Google the guy, so I don't know. Matthew Dowd, D-O-W-D. He has a really nice piece talking about how we're so afraid of WikiLeaks. And he says, my oldest son, who served in the Army for 5 years and was deployed in Iraq for nearly a year and a half, turned to me and asked, when as a country did we become a place where the government gets upset when its secrets are revealed but has no problem knowing all our secrets and invading our privacy? That's a pretty good question, I think. You know, and it opens up a sort of level of hypocrisy about our country that I don't think most people want to face. Hence me discussing it on the 666 cast, because that's what the 666 cast is all about, what website 666 is all about. Just poking you in the eye, saying, hey, what are you thinking? What are you doing? Think about it. You know, how about thinking about things in another way instead of just embracing, you know, the hegemonic belief system? The piece is pretty good, though, this Dowd piece, so Google it. The title is To Tell the Truth, and just Google Matthew Dowd. I'm sure you'll find it. It's at nationaljournal.com. Anyway, one other thing I wanted to read you from this post was, he says, my own sense is that we should err on the side of telling the truth, even when it's inconvenient or it makes our lives or the business of government more complicated. And the people who tell the truth should at the very least not be denigrated. That's something I learned when I was young, and I tried to impart on my three boys as they were growing up. Okay, yeah, that was pretty much it. And shouldn't news organizations be defending WikiLeaks and doing some soul searching of their own about why they aren't devoting more resources to search for the truth? Why is it that the National Enquirer and internet blogs sometimes seem better than they are at finding out what's really going on than the press? That's what he means there. It's pretty sad that this guy's right, and it's pretty sad what he brings up. The press is just a bunch of whiners, basically, and WikiLeaks is actually doing a good thing. And I never understand why people are naysaying these people, because you know what? As much as I loathe to even side with liberals, I mean, I just hate the whole hippie thing and, oh, peace, make peace, not war, and all that crap, and I guess just make love, not war, but you get the point. I do think there are, on occasion, good reasons to use force. I am a pacifist in general, but, you know, walk up to me with a knife, and if I can't run away, I'm gonna, you know, go for your fucking throat, man. So it bugs me to sort of side on the liberal side, but I feel like every liberal argument in recent history has been right. You know, when the hippies were out protesting Vietnam, they were right, you know. And when people protest for gay rights, not against them, they are right. When people were protesting slavery, they were right. You know what? So we need to figure that, we need to get behind that and understand that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is wrong. Going after WikiLeaks is wrong. You know, we need more transparency. That was the other thing that Matthew Dowd said. Maybe the government would earn more of our trust if it leveled with us more and invaded our privacy less. Yeah, that's another good thing. Anyway, so you get where I'm going for there. What I was saying before was that it's very frustrating to see so much attention put on things that really don't make a difference. And you know, what stories are we missing? Well, it turns out that scientists have found a way to reverse aging in mice. It's kind of not as good as it sounds, but it's pretty cool. But basically, scientists have figured out if you give a mouse this advanced aging disease. I can't remember what it's called. But they've figured out how to reverse that in mice. So this would be great for people, for humans who have that reverse aging device, because I know it's in humans as well, because they can, you know, be saved, essentially, hopefully, with, you know, therapies derived from this new discovery. But anyway, so this is kind of huge, actually, because if we can figure out how to do it for just those folks with the old age disease, maybe we can find a way to do it for everybody. Because basically what happens is that DNA, after a while, starts to fray, I think. That's how it works. Telomeres? Anyway, they figured out how to stop this. And so that's pretty cool. And it's the DNA falling apart that causes us to get old, I think. I'm really not an expert in this, and I've read very little. The CTV.ca, which is Canadian television, I guess, has a story about that. You can Google scientists find way to reverse aging in mice, if you're curious to read more about that. But this is kind of a huge story. And, you know, and then there's that other story that, you know, did get into the news, but I'm sure it wasn't really focused on too much, where we've discovered a new form of life, a brand new form of life, not just another life like an animal, but an actual form of life. Yeah, silicone. Got silicone in the brain. No, it's not a Lego ice tray, dipshit. arsenic-based DNA, because our DNA is apparently partially based on phosphorus. They found DNA that is partially based on arsenic. And what it means is, the significance is that basically two life streams or two, you know, yeah, streams of life essentially have evolved on this planet. And that means that if it can happen here, it can happen elsewhere. So, there you go. Excuse me. Coffee. Delicious coffee. It's like Jurassic Park. Life will find a way, right? So, anyway. All right. I've got to be 15 minutes by now. Yeah, I'm at 17. Damn, okay. So let's get back to the fear thing. Why are we afraid of a freaking website? Why are we afraid of everything? I've noticed for a long time in my own personality, I always feel like I'm trying to get away with something. You know? Okay, my iPhone, for instance, okay? I have an iPhone 3G. It could shoot video. It's not supposed to shoot video, but it's totally got the processor power and the camera to shoot video. Yet when I bought it, Apple didn't want me shooting video on it. And I thought, well, that's lame. Why can't I do that? And so, you know, eventually somebody hacked it and I downloaded the app and I could shoot video. Oh my God, the world is not ending. But I felt like I was getting away with something. Like, ooh, I'm so mischievous and devilish. Hence 666, guys. That I'm getting away with this. I'm able to do this. Ha ha. Oh, man. Do you believe this? I got a phone call. Do-do-do-do-do-do. I will pause this, and I will be back in a moment. Man, I don't know who that was. Some area code I didn't, or phone number I totally didn't recognize. Anyway. So I thought I was getting away with something, and it's like, why do I have to get away with making the hardware that I own do something that I wanted to do? And I do own this phone. It wasn't subsidized. I paid the ETF and got out of it as soon as I could. I mean, I was on AT&T for a month, and then I jumped ship. That was a little longer than a month, I guess, because I had to wait for the jailbreak to come out, or for the unlock, rather. But I did pay the ETF, and I owned it outright, and that was that. And so it's my phone. I paid for it, and it's just baffling as to why I'm not allowed to do that. There's actually laws in the UK that make it illegal for you to mod your Xbox or your PlayStation. And it's like, excuse me? That's ridiculous. So you're telling me I can't buy a piece of technology and do what I want with it? I can't take it apart. I can't make it do other things. Well, why? This doesn't make any sense. This is so big brothery. I mean, I guess with the UK, you'd expect that. But anyway, but it just seems like such a fear thing. And we're all afraid of things. It's like, you know, what was it? Okay. So here's what was interesting about yesterday. And this is the official second 15 topic. I'm wandering the city, just running a bunch of errands. And I wander into the Barnes & Noble on, I think it's 66th. That's it. I can't talk. And I'm looking at the sketchbook, the last sketchbook they have, because Barnes & Noble is closing because they have no money, or they're going out of business. Not Barnes & Noble, but this one store. I guess they're not selling enough books. Big surprise. And this woman, this old lady that was there, she wasn't, like, ancient or anything, but she was definitely, like, I don't know, 70s, I guess. And she was just curious. She was asking me about the sketchbook I was holding, and I was contemplating buying. And I don't even know how we got going, but we got going on the topic of politics. And all of a sudden, she was telling me how that Bloomberg, he's a dirty bastard. You know, and I'm like, ah, New York, gotta love it. And she seemed shocked that I didn't know all the bad things that Bloomberg was up to and stuff. And I'm like, you know, to me, you don't even need to go that far. But because, I mean, a third term guy in a two term city, that's lame. Anyway, but she says, you know, you got to get yourself educated. You got to read as much as you can about what's going on in the world. I'm like, yeah, I know. I already do that. I mean, I didn't say that, but that's what I was definitely thinking. But I just sort of smiled and agreed. Respect your elders, right? So then she says, oh, I read LaRouche. And I'm like, oh, good God. LaRouche, huh? Lyndon LaRouche is, in my opinion, he's just a total poser. He was some sort of, you know, active political person back in the 70s, I guess. And I remember in college, in the early 90s, I saw an ad in a TV guide that said something along the lines of learn more about the candidate, the government. The United States government fears so much they keep him locked up. Lyndon LaRouche tonight on CBS or something like that. And they had paid for, like, maybe it wasn't CBS, but they paid for some sort of political thing talking about Lyndon LaRouche. And I just remember reading that. I'm like, yeah, dude, you were put in jail for tax evasion or something like that, I think. At the time, I did some research. I found out, I think I might have had to go to the library for that because we didn't hack Google in the early 90s. Anyway, so I did some research, and yeah, it was something innocuous and non-political and criminal. It wasn't the government. Nobody was scared of him. And so just that statement alone just, you know, made me think, oh, you're such an ass. And their supporters are creepy. They're like on street corners. When I ever do see them, they're on street corners handing out pamphlets. And I don't know. Something about that sort of irks me. I guess it feels too much like what Christians do, stand around and, you know, hand out little pamphlets describing how Jesus is going to come back and stuff. I don't know. Maybe it's just a big city thing. She said, oh, why don't you read LaRouche? I said, he kind of scares me a little bit. And she's like, everybody's afraid these days. Everybody thinks they got stuff to be afraid of. But if you read, you learn about the world. And I'm like, oh, I do. I just don't trust LaRouche. Why don't you trust LaRouche? And I'm like, oh, I don't have time to formulate a giant, you know, well thought out argument here. So I just basically said, I don't really trust any politician these days. I'm afraid of every single one of them. And that's what this WikiLeaks thing really hits home to me about, is that, you know, we're so afraid. You know, whether you're for WikiLeaks or against it, you're afraid. You know, I'm afraid of the government, so I'm for WikiLeaks. Other people are afraid of the damage WikiLeaks' words will do, so they're afraid of WikiLeaks. Why are we living in such a scary world? We're not. We don't live in a scary world. Our world is, there are aspects of it that are fucked up and wow, do we need to fix, like, vast swaths of this world. But you know what? We're okay. You know? More people are born every day and you know, yes, people die every day, but it you can't move forward in a state of constant fear. And that's where we're at. And that's where I think we've been for a long time. I feel like I've been in a sort of semi-state of fear since I was a kid. I mean, granted, I grew up during the Cold War, so it was like, you know, I mean, we actually had days in we had entire semesters in school where we would, or I guess we called them marking periods, where we would talk about dying in a nuclear explosion. You know, I grew up in Jersey, so I was an hour and 15 minutes from the city, Manhattan, which would be New York City, which is where, you know, bombs would definitely be dropping, or missiles, ICBMs would definitely hit. So we were all going to die. We all knew we were going to die. Of course, thankfully, we were wrong. But I feel like that living in that environment sort of programmed me to always feel like, you know, I have to be one step ahead of somebody, you know, and I have to be careful of the government and da, 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 and all these people. And it's like, I feel like the government themselves feels this way. You know, like, everybody in government, like, politicians, like, oh, I don't want to lose my job, that would be scary. You know, oh, my God, I don't want to get, you know, called out in the press, because that would be scary. Or, I don't want to be embarrassed in front of foreign diplomats. It's like Robert Gates, defense secretary, said. It's like, you know, look, people already know not to trust America. You know, people just, but they have to, because we're the superpower. They need our help. Everybody needs our help. So, you come to the table, and you know what you're getting. You know, nobody's surprised at this. So, you know, why is it that Robert Gates can be, like, not really afraid of this stuff? You know, he's, I wouldn't even say what he's doing is being brave. He's just, you know, just stating the facts, you know, and it's sad when, you know, common sense and, you know, stating the obvious becomes an act of bravery. I mean, we're in a bad state in this country if this is the case, and it is the case, so we're in a bad state. So yeah, it was very disappointing, you know, to have that realization that, you know, I've been in such a state of fear, and that we all seem to be in such a state of fear. You know, it's like, it's bad enough just having to deal with social expectations, you know, and I realized that, like, my sort of new motto in life is make mistakes, you know, because I realized that I was holding back on so many things because I was afraid to make mistakes, to do something wrong. You know, I've done things wrong, and I've made huge mistakes, and I've suffered for things that actually weren't even my fault, for mistakes I didn't make. And for mistakes I did, of course. But life goes on. I'm still here, and you know, that's okay. And it's like, what am I going to do? Kill myself because I've made mistakes, because things aren't going according to plan? When do things ever go according to plan? You know, and so being a control freak, I was just going through my day thinking, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, I've got to do this. And it's just like, that's not how life works. Life gets in your way, life fucks with you, life knocks you on your ass, life gives you a fucking hangnail that won't go away. Sorry. Life gives you terrorism, life gives you, you know, car accidents and cancer and stuff like that. But you can't be afraid of these things. And I feel like we're afraid of everything. And while it makes sense to be non-trusting, I don't think you have to be afraid of politicians and terrorists and all those kinds of people, because they're going to do what they're going to do. You can kind of talk them out of it, I suppose, if they had a gun to your face, or if a politician was going to cut funding to a particular social program that you happen to be benefiting from or whatever, you could probably talk them out of it, but you can't be afraid of them. You have to be able to walk up to them and say, hey, you know, please don't do this, you know, and not be afraid of what they might do. You just have to be fearless and live life. And it's just something that I don't think we as humans are very good at doing. So anyway, I hope that makes sense. So this is the fear episode, I guess, of the 666 cast. We are coming up on 30 minutes here, so I'm going to try to cut this off before I get too long-winded and babbling on about something else, although there was some other story. Actually, shit. Okay, we're going to go a little bit long, a couple minutes longer. Gizmodo did this great post back on November 25th.
called How Ma Bell Shelved the Future for 60 Years. You should Google this right now and read this. This is a great example of why corporations just should not be trusted. The free market should not be trusted fully. And this is another great example of fear-based decision-making. Because basically, back in 1934, this Bell Labs engineer... Yes, there was a Bell Labs in 1934. Can you believe that shit? Oh, man. He had an answering machine. Yes, in 1934, he had an answering machine. And yet, answering machines wouldn't come into the mainstream until the 70s. You know, or even the 80s. I think I remember seeing them on TV, people having them on TV in the 70s. So I think that's when they... mainstream is 80s. Anyway, point is... Why was there nothing? Why did nothing happen in between 34 and say 84? You know, it's like 50 years. And well, it's because Bell Labs was scared. People would stop using the phone. They would just send each other voice messages, I guess. You know, and so they held off that technology for all that those years. And this isn't the only piece of technology they've held off on developing. Because they were afraid of what it would do to their own business. That's not... I mean, I've always heard capitalism explained to me as a way to encourage innovation. Well, you're wrong. Anybody who says that is wrong, because this is not happening. And so when you're afraid that something is going to cannibalize your own business, that's just sad. You know, it's like, do it anyway. And figure out how to monetize it. I mean, if you're afraid, you're just going to shut it down. But if you're adventurous and brave and fearless, you can move forward and figure out how to make the new thing work, the innovation work. And this is our problem with the internet, is that we still haven't figured out how to make it work, and we're too afraid of losing the old systems. You know, and as a result, we can't focus on seeing how we can make a new world out of off of the internet. That's the scary thing, is that, you know, we really don't know what's going to come next and how this is all going to work. Anyway, but you get the point. Capitalism cannot be trusted. Maybe I should do a whole another podcast about that, because that's a good one. Okay, now I'm signing off. Thank you very much for listening. This has been The Pete for ThePete.com, website 666.com, and, of course, the 666cast. Please check out website 666.com/webstore666 and pick up website 666 gear. I would greatly appreciate it. Every little penny helps. Thank you very much. The Pete signing off. Please let me know what you think. Twitter.com/ThePete. Twitter.com/website666. And we have a number. Shit. I think I mentioned this last week, though. Yeah, we do have a website 666 number. It is 740-297-6661. Call it now. Let me know what you think. Or just email me. Whatever. It's up to you. Thank you. And you can email me via thepete.com/a/thecontact. All right. Signing off, The Pete. Bye.